Friends, our lesson today comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. This is the story of the giving of the Holy Spirit according to the gospel writer Luke, who also wrote the story of the church, the book of Acts. Listen now for this lesson. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as the fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Proselytes, Cretans, and Arabs, in our own languages. We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But the others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" So they're trying to explain it away with wine. "But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them and said, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portions in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon shall be turned to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for all that you do, and I thank you for who you are. Bless this scripture and bless this preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. I learned a long time ago that kids like to go on field trips. Was that your experience? The end of the year, you get to go places, you get to see things. When Susie and I were raising our daughters, Susie usually was the field trip goer. She is a teacher, and often she would go on the field trips, take a little time off. One year, Annie Grace and Julie both had a field trip on the same day. And I think we were living in Sheridan at the time, and Annie Grace says, would you rather go with Annie Grace to the zoo or with Julie to a minor league baseball game? I said, Susie, do you know me? Church, do you know me? Which one did I choose? The minor league baseball game. Turns out I didn't get to go, not because of me, but Julie woke up sick. And Susie and Annie Grace had a good time at the zoo. Kids like field trips, right, choir? Yeah, and so do adults sometimes too. So I'd like to ask you if you're willing to go on a field trip with me this morning. Would you do that? Now, you don't have to get out of your pew. You don't have to go to your car. You don't have to get in a church van. The traveling will be on me right here in your pews. You take it in your mind's eye with your imagination. Are you game? You don't even know where you're going. Where are we going? where we're going to a church on Pentecost Sunday, and you're thinking, Pastor, I'm at a church on Pentecost Sunday, but I want you to see something, and I want you to hear something in this church. Now, I've reserved the balcony for us so that we can look down and see the altar area. So imagine if all of you were up there and looking down at the altar area. Well, what do you see? You see red, right? You see red pyramids, red altar cloths, red flowers, red stoles, red banners, red almost everywhere. The pastor has prepared the church like I did you so that everyone in the congregation, or most, are wearing red as well. The color symbolizes the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, go with the scripture with me for just a moment. I'm going to hit a pause on our field trip. We'll come back to it. I want you to see that this is two stories in the Gospels. One in the Gospel of John and one in the book of Acts that tell the story of the giving of the Holy Spirit. One of them is calm, cool, and collected. Choir, you can read about that in John's Gospel on Easter evening, where the disciples are huddled in fear. Judas is gone, and Thomas is out for a walk, and Jesus walks through the door and says, he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's calm, it's cool, it's calming. A simple breath, that's all there is to it. I like John's version, but I love Luke's version in the book of Acts. If you're the kind of person like me, when the warning signs are going off and the meteorologist saying there's a bad storm coming, you want to go out front and watch it with the tornado sirens going off. If that's you, if you like to watch that kind of thing, to see the storm passing by, then this story is for you. It is not calm. It is not cool. And it is not collected. Luke tries his best to describe it. He said 120 followers of Jesus were in the house. They were told to wait and to pray in Jerusalem, and they are there. There are thousands in the streets of Jerusalem because they are there for a festival called Pentecost, which was a remembrance of God giving Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai and Moses giving those to us. That's when it happened. Luke tries to describe it with words like tongues of fire. It was as if there was a mighty wind that blew through there. He uses words like amazed and astonished and bewildered, amazed again and perplexed. People were talking with each other, and even though they were from all over the places around there and spoke in different languages, they all understood each other. There's a sermon there, but I won't preach that sermon today. Everyone understood everyone else. You all may have noticed that I speak a different language. It's Southern. It's a little bit of Arkansas and a little bit of Tennessee wrapped together. It's Southern. 120 people in the house came down to the street, and someone asked the question, what does this mean? Are y'all with me today? That's a great question. Someone tried to say, well, it's wine. And Peter stood up for the first time since he denied Jesus and said, it's not wine. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then he started to tell the story of Joel, the prophet, and what he had said centuries before. Now go back to that church with me, back to the balcony. It's time for the opening hymn, and it's great. The music and the preacher, the musician, they've talked together so everything fits like it does here. He reads the scripture, and he gets down to the last part where the prophet Joel is being read. He doesn't focus on the wind. He doesn't focus on the fire. He doesn't focus on the languages. He focuses on the word from Joel, and he reads it slowly, and he says, in those days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he pauses. And he looks out at the church and he says, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And he stops for a moment and he looks up and he says, do we ever ask our children what they really think? What they really would like for our church to be about? Do we ever really do that? He asks. The kids who you thought weren't paying attention suddenly look up and say, amen, preacher. Go, right? He reads on. Young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. The younger men in the congregation take note. They're paying attention now. And they're asking themselves, dare I share my vision of what the church ought to be like with the pastor, with the church council? Dare I mention it? The old men in the congregation are saying, you know, I built this church with my blood, sweat, tears, and money. Do my dreams still matter? Joel wrote these words a long time ago. If he were to write it today, we can't rewrite scripture, of course, but I want to include the women, the young women and the older women in this same kind of idea here this morning. Do our dreams still matter? And he looks out. He has the attention of everybody, like I hope I have your attention now. And then he says, reads, even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And he says this, slavery really isn't a thing anymore. He says, but isn't there a way that we kind of look down on people? You know, like those who care for our families or clean our houses or take care of our kids or sit with dad at the nursing home. What about the waitress that I saw the other day? I wonder what her story is. And the sermon's almost over and the scripture is being completed. And then that preacher turns and he says, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God. Choir, you know that? Fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And that's it. Or is it? Now, friends, come back with me to our church. Are you with me? There are 3 days that I love to preach. I'm not near retirement, but when I retire, I'm going to choose one of these 3 days to stop on. The first one is Christmas Eve. I love Christmas Eve. Amen. The second is Easter Sunday. And third is Pentecost Sunday. If I can preach one or all 3 of those in a given year, my preaching year is complete. I love the excitement of the day, the enthusiasm of the day, how we try to answer that question, what does this mean? Let me tell you what we have here today. We have young men and young women. We have daughters and sons. And we have those who serve us. We have all that, right? Are y'all out there? Do we have dreams and visions? Choir? Do we have dreams and visions? Let me tell you one of the things I discovered this past August and September as I became your pastor. Invited you to our house, cottage meetings. Some of you were there. Many of you were there. And one of the questions I asked was this question. Tell me about your hopes and your dreams. And I found that that was a question that you had a hard time answering. What you said were things like, well, we want the pews filled again. I do too. I do too. I want that desperately. What are your hopes and dreams? We talked about ministry starting again and adding different things that we used to do and do those all over again. Dreams and visions. I'll never, never not ask you what your hopes and dreams are. Are y'all with me today? There was a guy in Sheridan named Steve Brown. I wasn't his pastor. He passed away before I got there, but I experienced something that he saw. What he saw one day was an old church across the street from where he worked, where he was a school principal. And he saw that church. It was his church. And he looked at it every day. And he thought about how it could look different. The church was growing. Money was there. And so what they did is they renovated an education building. And they added on, if you've ever been to Sheridan, it goes all the way to the highway now. Upstairs is a fellowship hall that looks like a cabin in Colorado. Exposed beams. It is beautiful. It doesn't look like a fellowship hall, right? Downstairs, added youth space, a kitchen and a bar where people could gather for breakfast and have youth ministry. It was state of the art. Used to be an old dungeon basement where the youth gathered, right? Steve saw that. Are y'all with me? In every church, I look for a Steve who can see things that I can't see. We call that vision. Amen? I want us to focus on dreams and vision. The sermon title is simply this, Dreaming Again. I will listen. Our church council will listen. Everybody will listen. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What can you see that I can't see? And let me just go ahead and say it. We don't need more building. We got plenty of building. What we need is strong ministries inside, right? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time that you took study seriously? Are you a stronger Christian today than you were a year ago? Are you growing in grace and discipleship? I was a part of a group that got together for the first time, a new study group. We met at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. That's early, isn't it? But I loved it. I want this church to be its very strongest. Are y'all with me today? And so will you dare to pray the prayer that I'm about to suggest at 11:02 every day? Y'all are praying at 11:02 every day, right? Yeah. Here's the prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Will you pray it with me now? Come, Holy Spirit. Billy Abraham, who taught me in seminary, said, be very careful when you pray that prayer. Because when the Spirit shows up, wow. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.